What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. This is Fenway Faithful, Season 2, Episode 2. I'm Dave, and as usual by my side, we got the one and only Mo. Mo, what's going on?
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Fenway Faithful Podcast.
All right, so let's get right into it. I don't know if you guys saw, but we were posting a couple of items on our Instagram. And one of the main things that we wanted to get into was an announcement made by the Red Sox on how Fenway Park and JetBlue Park are going to be closed, completely closed to the public this summer. And I mean, it's unfortunate, but also amongst the COVID-19 pandemic, these are all, honestly, these are just safety measures that the organization has taken. But in a way, it kind of rubs me the wrong spot. And Mo, I know it bothers you too.
It really does bother me big time. Now, as you know, this article dropped. The mayor came out Friday, so it was right after last week's podcast. And it really bothered me seeing that the mayor has ruled everything out till the end of September in Boston. And it's crazy that we're not even in June. It isn't even Memorial Day yet. And here we are. And it's really, it hurts to be a Sox fan. It hurts to be a baseball fan. It really shows, like, what type of season are we in for? What are we going to see? You know, we just had UFC do an event last week where they had no fans. And that kind of cracked the iceberg. You know, it gave a sign of hope. And then you get the punch to the gut where no fans, no anything in Fenway Park if there is a season.
Well, I mean, on one end, I understand they want to take measures to keep everyone's safety, obviously, at the utmost priority. But, I mean, you know, they say that with the warmer weather, this pandemic is short to decrease in numbers and percentages and what have you. But at the same time, you know, like Mo and I, we love going up to Boston in the summer, walking the Yawkey Way, taking the tour, just being in the atmosphere of what Boston is and what it represents. So, I mean, it is unfortunate. I know some fans understand and some don't, but it does take away from the essence of what summer ball is, you know?
It really takes away from everything. I mean, I believe teams feed off the fans.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, and like, let's think about it. Like, you made a great point before and you basically brought up about how the UFC, now they are holding their fights and everything, but it's a whole different atmosphere. You know, like you can actually hear guys talking shit to each other inside the octagon.
Right.
And I mean, I know to them it doesn't make a difference if fans are there or not, but in other sports, like baseball, basketball, you know, big team sports, the atmosphere is everything. And that can dictate a win or a lose for a whole team.
I agree. It dictates everything in my eyes. I mean, we were doing so good, right? The beginning of the month, we had Hafþór Björnsson, the world's strongest man, Hafþór, broke a world record on ESPN.
That's right. That's
it was
right.
The largest viewed event.
The Mountain.
On ESPN, yes. And then we had UFC the following week. And I was like, oh, man, we're seeing some light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
I mean, and even just yesterday, and this past Saturday, NASCAR is back too.
Exactly. So we're getting.
So little by little, we're getting back to regular, but
we need America's pastime.
Yeah, we need baseball back.
We need baseball back. And when you think of baseball, what do you think of?
To me? I mean, you know what I'm thinking.
Fenway fucking Park.
Of course. Like, I want to be at Fenway on a Saturday afternoon, knocking down beers, and then hear Sweet Caroline at the bottom, at the end of the ninth inning.
That's it.
There's nothing more nostalgic than that. That's what
I want to hear. Tessie's girl. I want to go to McFadden's. I want to go on the tour.
Yeah.
I want a day drink on Yawkey Way.
Same.
You know, I want to hit the breweries. I want to do all the cool shit you do.
I want to do hood rat shit with my friends. You know, like.
And it's crazy, you know, because it's like the lead was working. You know, they're splitting the divisions. They have 3 10-team divisions. They're doing all the steps to make a season actually happen. And when you read it like this, it makes you think, are we going to get a season?
I mean, you and I were paying very close attention about what was going on there was, you know, a type of proposal that was presented to the MLB, and unfortunately, that was denied. So right now, we're pretty much facing no baseball.
It's because of cocksuckers like Blake Snell, who wants all his money. Like, dude, you can't look at this right now as a money thing. You're a player. You are the answer to society's happiness. You are the relief that we're all looking for. There's not going to be a vaccine for this COVID-19 shit.
I mean, all right,
I hate to talk about it like that.
Not to get too deep into that, but, like, let's go back to this whole Blake Snell thing. Not even Blake Snell directly, right?
Other players, too.
But there are players. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, this is a business. But you and I see it from a fan standpoint, where it's like, listen, if I was pro right now, I'd be itching to play ball.
Knowing that our country needs that sign of relief, let's go. This is for America. This isn't for my bank account. I'm going to be good no matter what. If you make six figures a year, you're good no matter what.
Absolutely.
And that's the league minimum. This is what we need as a country, as a nation, as everything. We need America's pastime to be on TV.
I mean, like I said, you know, this is something that it's a part of all of us, and there's a big hole missing right now for us.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that, I mean, to be honest with you, Mo, I don't foresee the 2020 season being played at all, whatsoever.
After doing all the research, I think so, too. You know, I feel like if they open restaurants up and it's to, 20% they're going to open it up to?
It's like curbside pickup or, like,
but I'm saying, like,
delivery.
They're going to be opening it, like, eventually it's going to be 20%. Why can't you do a baseball stadium at 20% then?
Well, I mean, but that's not fair to everybody else. You got to also think about all your season ticket holders. Now, so I was reading something. They won't get reimbursed fully, but they're basically going to get a rain check for the 2021 season.
Right.
Which includes spring training. And I'm talking particularly about Fenway and JetBlue Park. And I mean, I guess that's an upside, but still doesn't bring baseball back for us. So, guys, I mean, let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think about no Fenway. No Fenway love for 2020, guys.
Right.
That fucking sucks.
We'll get to the comments before we move on.
Oh, all right. Guys, so Mo hit me up the other night, and he told me about all of the feedback we got on episode 1. Guys, thank you so much. Seriously. Mo, hit me up with some comments.
We got some comments regarding the Fenway Park being closed. A lot of people are saying, well, Florida's open, and so is Texas. We understand that. The warmer states do not take it as serious as northern states do. And it's just the way it is. A lot of people are saying life's more important. This is a pandemic. You're right. But this is also be a very caring act to help with everything. Another guy said, MLB closed all stadiums. A lot of people are already saying, just cancel the season, move on to next year. I don't agree with it 100%, but that's what it kind of looks like. A lot of people say, it doesn't bother me, keep podcasting about it. So that's my favorite one.
Hey, yeah.
TV is more affordable than going to Fenway.
I get it.
To each their own.
Listen, that's why we share these comments. We may not agree with them, but they're our listeners. We appreciate that.
We don't have any choice. Please bring the MCL Act back. That was a good one.
What was that?
We don't have any choice or matter in this. Please bring back the MCL. I want to see MCL come back. Mookie, Cora, Lester. I like that comment.
I want to get into that, but we have to follow our agenda here. But definitely, I agree.
Right. I think we'll leave it at that. Oh, why not put 10,000 cap on Fenway Park or keep the numbers at 10% to 20% in the park? That's the point I just talked about.
Okay. So I mean, as far as a visitor's cap.
Right.
I mean, I get that, but I don't know if that's fair.
I don't think it's fair.
And ticket prices are going to be out the ass.
I don't think they should do the ticket prices. If the whole league does it, I don't think they do the ticket prices. I think you can separate fans. And I think they're going to do Fenway Park, they're going to do the 10-20% cap.
But see,
I think if they do JetBlue Ballpark, no. I think they should just be in and out, on TV only, families only at the stadium.
What happens is that totally defies the executive order given in each state. That's the big problem.
Right.
And Major League is not going to take that risk.
Right.
That's what we're facing right now.
Every state is different.
If you go to
Texas right now, correct. You don't even know there's a pandemic going on.
No, correct. But the executive order is nationwide. Each state can deal with it individually. Now, at the end of the day, this is a corporation. This is a business.
Right.
So the Major League is not going to risk governors saying, oh, well, you guys can play baseball. Well, okay, then who the fuck are you going to play? Because no teams are going to come visit.
Right. Why I think if there is a season, we're going to see it all played at the spring training facilities.
Yeah. If. But right now, I don't think so.
And then I was reading some other crazy shit, right? So they're saying, like, if they play with no fans, they want players to dress at home, shower at home, and come to the stadium and just play. That hurts the clubhouse morale.
Just fucking throw MLB the show on and just play from home.
That's it.
No. All right. Well, guys, give us your thoughts. Let us know what you think.
Thanks for all the comments, by the way.
Yeah, guys. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
Honestly, I woke up and I was very surprised. Put a big smile on my face. Keep them coming. We love the interaction, guys.
A lot of love on Facebook, Fenway Faithful. A lot of love on Instagram at Fenway Faithful Sports. Emails, everything. Thank you guys so much. On Twitter, we're Fenway Faithful. So just, guys, thanks for everything. Last week, we started touching on this, and we also had reviews and questions about the top five prospects. Are we going to do the prospects, Dave?
We were going to cover Chris Sale.
All right, we'll cover Chris.
And
we had a lot of questions on him, too. So.
And then we'll go into our top five prospects that Bo and I have been working on. And I think it's good to keep it fresh. But let's get back to Chris Sale. So right now, obviously, as you guys know, so he did have his Tommy John already.
He had it right beginning of all this.
You know, in a way, the fact that baseball is on a hold right now is kind of good because this is more rehab time for him. And we all know that when Chris Sale is at the top, he can dominate.
Yes.
But Tommy Johns are scary because it's either make or break.
Well, like we talked about last week, a lot of people say this is like the fountain of youth. You get more out of your arm after Tommy John. And being a strength coach in high school right now, I see parents question me, is Tommy John the answer for their kids? It will help them in the long haul. And you got to wonder, is that going to help Chris Sale? Is this going to make the contract worth it? Or is it going to break it? What's your thoughts, Dave?
I mean, obviously, I want to be... I want to be positive about the situation. I think with the experience that Chris Sale has, he is definitely one of my favorite competitors in that dugout. I mean, you remember the postseason 2018, he was out there
yelling at
motherfuckers.
And it wasn't like a David Ortiz motivational talk.
No, he was came out that tunnel screaming, getting that team. And he was a big part of that championship team.
Definitely.
Not only because of his pitching performances, but also the morale booster.
Right.
He's definitely a guy that I want in that dugout, you know, in the bullpen.
He's a good player, hurt,
and
healthy. I want him in that dugout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, getting back, you know, this break has also provided him with a lot more time to rehabilitate, train, and also prove that he is that dominant pitcher that we paid that fucking money for.
Definitely stealing time. And you know what the injury showed me, though, like in the playoffs when his velo was really down? It showed me that we didn't just sign a guy for 5 years or how many years the contract is that's going to be a gunslinger. He knows how to pitch. He knows how to move the ball around. He knows how to get outs. If it's 94 or 89, I'm confident in Chris Sale being dominant. Now, if he comes back and the surgery isn't what it was supposed to be, and he's just going to be a Chris Sale who gets out, yeah, we won't see 14 strikeouts a game. But if we got a guy who goes out there every 5 days who can get guys out, we're going to be all right.
And I think we will, too. So I'm feeling very, very positive and optimistic about it.
And look at Nathan Eovaldi. He had 3 Tommy Johns.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's a freak.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a freak.
And he owned the Yankees in 2018.
Owned him big time. I mean, so I'm...
So, I mean...
I think if it was like his second Tommy John, I would feel weary about it being his first. I'm just happy it wasn't his shoulder. Because everybody knows shoulder injuries are impossible to come back.
You tell me.
What I tell me. But, you know, so that's why I look at it. I think he'll be all right. I think it's too early to say, oh, this contract's a bust or not.
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, you know, we got a ring with him, and he's definitely somebody that I still have a lot of confidence in. And, you know, it's just a matter of time when he comes back, and we'll see him performing at a top rate again.
And he's a presence.
Oh, of course.
And you run around the young guys.
Of course. And I mean, you know, you can only... I tried to do a little research earlier, try to get you guys a little bit more info, but you can only get so much. We know he has Tommy John, and obviously he's probably working on getting back in shape. And I haven't seen anything. Do you know if he's been throwing yet?
No, he ain't thrown yet. Surgery's too new. But he did come out and say he's going to be better than what he was going out. So,
hey, I mean,
and if there's somebody to trust, that's the guy you're going to trust.
That's the fucking guy. And I believe every word he says. So, definitely, guys, any thoughts on Chris Sale? Let us know. Any questions? And, you know, we'll keep talking about him. So, Chris Sale, we wish you the best of luck in your rehab, and we hope to see you out there next season. So, Mo, we were talking about top five prospects. So, this is something that I wanted to kind of bring back. Let's talk about some fresh blood.
Right.
Well, enough with the big contracts. Let's talk about the future of this ball club.
We'll do top five this week, bottom five next week.
Yeah, so we'll do our 1 to 5 this week and then 5 to 10 next week.
Correct.
So this is one guy that I really like, really young guy, Jeter Downs out of Barranquilla, Colombia. We acquired him through the LA trade.
Out your hood.
At my hood, yeah. We got him through the LA trade, right?
Yep. Part of the Mookie Act. I didn't hear much of him, but he was from the West Coast. But everything I hear about him so far,
he's a stud.
He's the guy.
Apparently he's a stud.
What I like is he was a shortstop when he was traded. Now they already have him as a middle infielder.
Yeah.
He's playing second.
Yep.
Now we all know the GOAT Pedroia is on his way out. It sucks. Fuck you, Manny Machado. Dirty piece of shit. But it is what it is. And, you know, I fucking hate that guy.
You always count on Mo.
I fucking hate Manny Machado. If somebody can catch the COVID-19, I hope it's him.
All right. Jesus, man. Okay, so definitely. So, I mean, I'm excited to see this guy. Now, we don't know how long he's going to be, you know, on the farm team. We're going to see. Obviously, we were hoping to see him play this year a little bit throughout spring training. But from all his scouting reports and what we hear about him, he's definitely our number one guy for our prospects for the Red Sox at the moment.
And he said he wanted to always play in the Red Sox uniform and send my attention. So.
Yeah, so let's see. I mean, I got big hopes for him. All right, so moving on to number two, we got Tristan Casas.
He's so underrated, isn't he?
Yeah, 20-year-old kid at Pembroke Pines, Florida. 6'5", 240 pounds. That's
people,
a big fucking boy.
People talk about Bobby Dalbec being the next first baseman. And I did an article on Bobby Dalbec this year. I wrote on it. And when I was doing it, I said, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah.
And Tristan Casas. I mean, he's a stud.
That's and a big fucking boy.
Bro, he hit bombs. YouTube him after this. He hits bombs. I mean, just, he drops it. And I don't understand. I don't know what.
And you know what? I mean, that honestly.
I guess because he's younger.
He's young. He's only 20. I mean, we don't see too often when we get young kids like that onto the big.
Which is why I think they're pushing the ball back so far.
But here's the thing, though. First base, that's pretty much open spot right now.
Yeah, you know, Mitch Moreland, we love Mickey Two Bats, but.
Yeah.
How much is in the tank?
Exactly.
But something must be going on there that they're pushing Dahl back over him. Maybe it's the age. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
speaking of Dahlbec,
he's number three.
He's number
right
three.
Behind him.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, he's a third baseman going to first base. And you know who's at third base?
Of course, our boy,
Rafi Devers. And
two scoops.
You're not taking that from him. You know, he's also, what, 22 now?
Yeah, basically.
And he's coming off the year. He just set all those records last year.
Yeah. So,
so if Dahlbeck don't go to first, he's going to go play in another uniform.
So Dahlbeck is out of Seattle, Washington, 6'4", 225 pounds. Another big boy.
But you know what I like? He played on Team USA.
Yeah.
And he told Team USA, if I'm going to come play, I'm only playing first base.
Yeah. I mean, he sees the writing.
Nah, but you don't think about it. He knows that's his way there.
Yeah.
It's rather, I'm going to play here at Live ABs, or I'm going to take some reps at first on my own time.
I mean, so we'll definitely, everybody keep an eye on Bobby Dahlbeck. He currently plays for the Pawtucket Red Sox. And good luck to Bobby, so we'll see him. All right, moving on to number four, we have Brian Mata, right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, touches mid-90s, real nasty stuff. I don't think he got caught up last year, but I'm interested in him. Bring up all the young arms right now. We're going to see more young arms, and that's 4 or 5 years than anything else.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that the Red that pitching for the Red Sox right now, and I mean, for any team, but it's obviously a big priority. I would like to see, bring our guys in from our own system rather than from outside. I think that the Red Sox organization produces great ball players, and a guy like this, rated at number four, I think can do big things with the club. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen within the next year or so.
Yeah, we definitely need some young arms to show up. I mean, Ryan Weber-Lasser is good.
I mean, listen, he's 6'3", 160 pounds.
Hey, Matt Barnes is a homegrown player.
And he's 21,
yeah.
Playing out of Venezuela. So obviously, young guy, he's ambitious, he wants to get out of there, and he's a righty. So, I mean, let's see.
I like him. I like what I saw.
I like him too. Like I said, I like seeing guys coming out of our system.
Everything I saw on him during the week, doing the research on him, I like. Live fastball, good off speed stuff.
Good location.
On fire. Paints. Kid paints.
All right.
Who's number five? Let's see who got number five.
Number five is Gilberto Jimenez. He is an outfielder. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I thought you had more there. I thought you were going
to... Yeah, me too. Apparently not.
That's summer ale hitting you.
It's only, that's water, bro. What do you mean?
No, water is White Claw.
Guys, so I was drinking a White Claw one night. The ball came over, and he has not stopped busting my chops about it.
We had our preseason meeting, a.k.a. we got drunk, and this guy is fucked up on White Claws, and I'm like, oh, no. What are we doing here? And I'm going to make sure he remembers it until he dies, that he was drinking White Claws.
And then I bought him a bottle of Buffalo Trace today. So shut him up.
A little bit of the Buffalo.
Anyways, all right, so Roberto Jimenez, Red Sox. I mean, young kid, I don't really know too much to say about him. He signed just for $10,000 out of the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, it sounds right.
August 2017.
Yeah, they didn't think he was going to be that high of a player, and he's really showed up and showed, you know, he has what it takes. I think with JBJ and Kevin Pillar probably not coming back next year, we'll see him sooner than later. Good speed, a lot of contact, hits for average, definitely covers a lot of ground in the outfield. He shows power from time to time. I mean, but I do want to see JBJ back. I'm not going to lie.
I've come to love JBJ, but it's always good to have an outfielder that you can rely on
right
in a time of need, because it's a long season. So if we have a guy like that we can depend on to, you know, get us a couple innings out there, produce at the plate, that'll be great. So, yeah, I mean, those guys they're definitely very valuable to us.
Yeah, I think that top five is real solid. We have pitching, we have outfielding.
Man.
It's always good to know your top five prospects cover everything.
Pitching,
infield, and outfield, that's the best thing you want to see when you have a strong farm system.
Well, I'm glad that you agreed to cover this today. It was something that came at me last minute. So I'm glad we covered that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait for next week's.
All right, guys. So our last topic, close it off. We're running a little bit on time here. I know that a lot of people have been thinking about this.
Last week.
Is Cora coming back next year?
Out of the MCL Act, I think Cora is the most likely to come back. I think he's going to come back. I think he wants to come back. I think the front office already has him written down back. Like I said last week, Renegade already said he's not going to be here for a long time. He doesn't want to be here for a long time. Next year, I think he comes back. I think he comes back guns blazing. I think he comes back on a mission. Does he come back as a head coach?
Why wouldn't he?
That was a question I was asking.
Okay, but why? What other reason would you bring him back for?
Yeah, you don't bring him back as a bench coach.
Listen, to me, Cora is a leader. Yeah, unfortunately, he got mixed up in some bullshit. You got it.
All right, so back to Cora. We had a little drop out there. So, Cora back. He's a leader. I think he comes back. What do you think?
Honestly, I think the relationship and the atmosphere and the presence that Cora brought to that dugout in 2018 as his first year as manager was everything. I mean, you can tell that the guys genuinely loved him. They had a deep connection. And he's like one of those skippers growing up that like you knew you could trust. Know what I mean? Like we've all had managers or coaches in baseball where you can actually be like, he genuinely cares for his players.
He has that Terry Francona feel.
Definitely.
John Farrell missed that.
Yeah.
I like them.
I mean, I like Farrell too, but we all know, you know.
But he didn't have that connection. Now here's my question, Dave. So we're doing homework on this. He came in motivated from Houston, right? Do you think he's more motivated coming off suspension?
I think he's hurting right now. Because...
Do you think it hurts him so much he doesn't even come back, though?
No. Can you stop watching baseball? Can you stop playing baseball?
Never.
All right, then.
Never. I have 38 screws now, and I'm still pitching. I don't stop.
Dude, I think it's the love of the game. And us as Boston fans... We accepted him for the mistake that he made in Houston, and we looked past it.
Exactly. It didn't happen
and
here.
Everybody makes mistakes. Say what you want, but I really hope that Cora does come back. He's a guy that I like. I think he's genuine, and I don't care what they say. He took us to the top.
He took us to the promised land.
So, I mean, that's how I feel about Cora, but we have not officially heard anything yet. Of course, the only thing that we do know is that he's serving his suspension. And regardless or not, whether there's a pitch thrown this year, it doesn't matter. Cora is technically serving his suspension, which means that he is eligible to come back next year. So once we hear some more, we'll definitely bring that news to Fenway Faithful.
I think we'll have good news on that sooner than later. I think he's going to be back. I mean, how can the guy not be back, right?
Seriously. I mean... Cora, come back. That's all I'm going to say.
For real. Please, we need you. No, we don't.
So now, a little time for our sponsor. Guys, we talked about him last week. You got to check him out. Wicked Piss Up Fitness Apparel. They have 6 shirts, sweatshirts, pants. Ladies, they have things for you too. So if you want to check them out on Instagram, it's at WPFNA. And their website is Wicked Pissa, PISASSAHH.com.
And also, guys, if you check them out, make sure at checkout, use the code FFS10 and save some money on that sick-ass gear you're going to be rocking at Fenway this year.
Hell yeah. We're definitely going to be posting some of their stuff, so look forward to that. And as usual, you guys got any recommendations or just questions, DM us at our Instagram account. That's Fenway_faithful_sports. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, buddy. DM us and also check out all our hot articles on FenwayFaithfulSports.com, where we write about the Red Sox and strength sports. We're looking for writers for the Bruins and the Celtics. We're working on all that, guys. But just check it out when you can. You can also check out our YouTube channel, Fenway Faithful. Facebook, Fenway Faithful. Twitter, Fenway Faithful. Guys, check us out. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think of the show. Thank you guys for all the feedback last week. Thank you guys for all the positive feedback. And you don't like us? Fuck it. We don't care neither.
Yeah, motherfucker.
You know, just come check us out. If you're interested in sponsoring us, come find us. We're everywhere. And if you want to come out and drink with us, hopefully have a drink soon at Butch's or anywhere, really. But till then, Dave, anything else?
No, that's it.
Guys,
love you guys. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. We are out.